Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Breeze fakes the toss. Here's the drag for Ginn. And Atlanta missed the tackle with Alford. And Ginn into the end zone. Ryan, 5 steps, looks right, throws, end zone. Caught! Calvin Ridley, touchdown Atlanta. Falcons Saints, huh? This is my first spin through this, boys. I got it. 21-yard try for Lutz. Snap, spot, kick by Lutz is good. Man, looks, going to cut it deep. Down here's Ridley, caught it in stride. Calvin 20, 15, 10, 5. He geared down to wait on some competition. Touchdown Atlanta, 75 yards. Snap to Ryan, Saints only bringing 3. Ryan with time. Matt pumps, now moves left with it. Going to reload, throw, caught, running across the back line. Calvin Ridley, another score. Kamara in the backfield. Breeze in trouble, and Beasley will sack him. Ramchek had no idea. So here is Bosher with Ted Ginn Jr. drifting back. Blocked. New Orleans got to it. And the ball is loose, and it is scooped up. And Craig Robertson has it inside the 20 for the Saints. Okafor and Justin Hardy were both back there. Okafor, I think, was the gold helmet that got the hand on it. Breeze off the far hash, looks left. Now buying time, steps up, throws, caught, Meredith. Is New Orleans got a touchdown? They do. Cameron Meredith, snap to Ryan. Looks right, Coleman the catch. Inside the 5, kept his balance, touchdown Atlanta. Stuck the ball right over the pylon for the score. Atlanta for 2 here, leading by 4. Snap to Ryan, Hooper's there, wide open, caught it. Austin Hooper took 3 steps, and New Orleans lost him, Arch. High formation, flat. Breeze wants the throw, line the catch, stuck it in the end zone. With Duke Riley there, Zach Line the fullback, his 11th career reception. Snap to Matt, pushes the pocket right, shoots it over there, caught, Sanu, touchdown Atlanta. Atlanta will go for 2, Ryan looks, now comes back left, gives ground, throws, end zone, caught. Sanu gets the 2-point try for Atlanta. To the right is Thomas. Breeze wants the throw. Now going to dial up. Goes to the left side. And Breeze dodges out of a missed tackle and dives for the touchdown. Poole had a chance. And Breeze spun out of it. Line and Kamara behind Breeze. Breeze going to try and dive over. And he does. And that's the ball game. Quick snap. Drew Breeze over the top. And New Orleans wins in overtime, 43-37.
It's about wins and losses. You know, it's, I guess as I get older, you realize that,
too.
It's not about
Monday
you.
It's about us and what the game we do as a team. And
you know, obviously, you know, it's nice to throw touchdown passes.
A phenomenal weekend in Atlanta with a little bit of a bummer on the backside. Well, not a little bit of a bummer, a big bummer on the backside. They killed what was an incredible sports weekend in this town. And welcome to the Kia Studios with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we say every Monday, going to be a lot to get to, so be patient. We'll get to all of it because there are a lot of headlines to chop up. Morning to you. What up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. I know a lot of people probably aren't feeling that great this morning, but hey, you know what? If you woke up, that's a good thing. So don't be too hard on yourself. It's a good thing.
You know, we should be jumping up and down and thrilled this morning. I mean, we have a weekend and a Monday to talk about the Braves clinching the NL East for the first time in 5 years. And chop on and congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. How about the amazing and emotional win of Tiger at Eastlake yesterday? And Atlanta United with a huge 2-0 win that puts them in a position where they can win the Supporters' Shield in the next couple of outings. But that's all set against this Falcons loss yesterday, which was not only disheartening but troublesome on a lot of fronts, including – now, where do we go from here on defense? Because that's the big question this
morning. Ricardo Allen, we don't know what's happening with him, if how long he's going to be out. Been decimated with injuries. It's unfortunate. Starting out this early in the season that you're decimated with injuries. Got to figure it out, though. You know, that's the beauty part about football. You know, you next man up. But it's looking like now that, you know, we're running out of bodies. So like Coach Quinn said, he got to start looking outside the building and try to find some bodies to come in here and play.
Yeah, he already said that after the game yesterday, because I know a couple of people have tweeted it out. And we're going to be talking to you all day on our social media, at 929 The Game, on our Facebook as well. We want you to jump at all the conversations that we're going to have, because we have a lot to chop up. And, of course, with the Falcons now, and as of this morning, Hugh, they sit, you know, in last place after three games at 1-2 in the NFC South. We said how critical this game was, and they had the game and so many things, the block punt and not being able to tackle and Drew Brees going into the end zone twice on runs. Come on. You know, it was just – it was so frustrating.
Yeah, it was a tough loss. They looked a lot, especially in that fourth quarter and overtime, looked discombobulated, like they didn't know what was going on. Looked like they did not have a clue, which is unfortunate. You know, that was a good game. That was one of those games that's going to go down in history books. Unfortunate for the Atlanta Falcons, they're going to be on the wrong side of it. Should have won that game.
Should have won that game.
Should have won that game. Should have never went into overtime when you look at some of the plays that were missed out there on the field. But a lot of football left to be played. Granted, I know a lot of people are concerned for the fact that, you know, your defense right now, if you lose Ricardo Allen, that's going to hurt. Like, tremendous. Like, let's not even fool around and pretend like it's going to be okay. That's going to hurt. Because now you have a young linebacker in the middle who's going into his third game, starting middle linebacker, in Duke Riley. You got a Foye Oluokun who looks like he's probably, you know, a little dinged up. Man, and now you got the guy back there that knew where everybody else lined up, probably not going to play. That's not a good look. That's not a good feeling. Somebody really has to step up and learn on the fly this week. And you got Cincinnati coming in, who's a little salty because they took an L. So, yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And right now you're looking at it thinking, well, the only way you're going to win much of anything right now, this is the flash on Monday morning, is you're going to have to win every game 42-40, which they should have done yesterday. I mean, Matt Ryan, if you had told me on Saturday, let's say you tweeted out, Matt Ryan, I got it on good authority, Matt Ryan's going to throw 5 touchdowns. They're going to throw for over 400 yards. He's not going to throw a pick. And, by the way, Calvin Ridley's going to get 3 scores in the game. I would have said, ball game, we win. I would have told you, Matt Ryan, 5 touchdowns, no picks, and
they were talking
lose?
About in the game that was the first time in the history of the NFL that a rookie has gotten 3 touchdowns in a single game since Odell Beckham Jr.
Since 2014. Right.
Yeah, since Odell Beckham Jr.
I know, and just an incredible game by Calvin Ridley. I mean, he just tore it up. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he took the top off the defense. He was as advertised when you look at what he did yesterday and the way that offense was clicking. And you know what's funny? The irony of yesterday's game was that when Matt needed to score, every time they went back and forth, the lead changes were ridiculous in that game. Red zone play, the execution in the red zone was phenomenal. And then all of a sudden, it's your defense. The one thing that we went into the season thinking that we didn't have to worry about, that they were poised to make that next step, that's the phase of the game that had the issues, that had the most injuries. Man, I'm telling you, and to have that many injuries on one side of the ball is ridiculous. I mean, I don't recall having knowing a defense that has been decimated like that. And, you know, after a while, that next man up mentality is great, but there's going to be some fall off. And if Ricardo Allen is not out there, then, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, so much so that when Dan Quinn says after the game, Hugh, that, you know, we're going to look outside the building, the very first thought, I think, is that, you know, Seattle's been dangling Earl Thomas out there. And Dan Quinn knows Earl Thomas, so I can see the Falcons at least making a call on that today.
Yeah, I could probably see that too, because it's like you need somebody that's going to come in there. You're going to get fleeced. You're going to get fleeced, no question about that. I mean, just get prepared for the fleecing,
mm-hmm.
because you need somebody. And if they're willing to give him up, then you might have to go ahead and make that move, because he can come in here and he's familiar. I'm assuming that he is familiar with the concept. The terminology might be different with this defense, but he's familiar with the concept. And he can come right in, and you can plug him in, and he can play. But the problem is, what are you going to do when Ricardo comes back? I think you got to weigh all that. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself when I talk about that, because we don't know the severity of Ricardo's injury, and we don't know what they're thinking as far as that.
It is a Falcons Monday from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot to chop up today, as mentioned. We do want to let you know that because the Falcons did score so many touchdowns, one in each quarter, you can get $100 off any set of four new tires today at Kauffman Tire. KauffmanTire.com for your nearest retailer, but $100 off a set of four new tires at Kauffman Tire today. But, of course, again, the Braves clinch, we're going to get into that in about 10 minutes, what it means for the Braves to clinch. Atlanta United we'll talk about throughout the show with a 2-0 win over Real Salt Lake. But the most emotional moment happened yesterday with Tigers' win. Atlanta had a moment that goes down in Atlanta sports history yesterday as one of the great moments with those throngs of people running up 18. You know, I don't know how many people were there, 25, 30,000? I have no idea. At East Lake Golf Club, all chanting Tiger's name to watch Tiger win for the first time in 5 years. And his emotional reaction and what that moment meant to the sport of golf and to East Lake and to this tournament, it was really special.
Oh, there was no question about that, John. You know, it was funny. I watched – he didn't get the $10 million, though. Wish he got that $10 million. But I was watching it on TV, and when he was talking about how – when the people were following him, and he said that he didn't notice the people following him, and he was just in the moment. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, Tiger, that's a load of BS right there. You noticed everybody that was watching you. You have not been in the winner's circle in 5 years, and for you to sit there and tell that story like you didn't hear the people yelling your name and all that adulation. You haven't heard. People weren't that excited about golf. They haven't been that excited about golf in a long time, especially with you out there playing. People have been pulling for you. Even the ones that were hoping for your demise, watch this, because they were hoping that you didn't pull it off, but you did. So for you to sit there and act like you didn't hear all those people yelling and screaming your name and all those folks pulling for you, I just thought that was funny. He was trying to be humble in that situation. Nah, you heard all of that. Because I know that was a feeling for him that he probably has not felt in a long time. And you know, for him, Tiger's good for the game of golf.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had people calling me yesterday, football Sunday, asking me, hey, are you going to go over there and watch Tiger play? Heck no. I'm watching football. But I do respect the fact that people, like, he brought the masses together and they wanted to go see that. And they were out there for him. So shout out to Tiger Woods for getting it done.
It was a phenomenal weekend, and we're going to be talking about this big weekend. But the big story, of course, is the Falcons and what they're going to do on defense. And the Braves, I mean, you pick your headline. And the Braves clinch the NL East. The Braves are off to the playoffs. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Here we go.
He jams.
They score! And it is good.
Our Atlanta Hawks, United, and Falcons play here because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons Monday at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's classic old school, D. Nothing wrong with this. All right, enough wallowing. Let's talk about, because otherwise it was a phenomenal weekend. I mean, Tiger, that was an emotional story. Atlanta United with a big win in front of 72,000 fans. And how about them Braves?
Tiger didn't get that $10 million, though.
Oh, he'd be okay.
He didn't get that $10 million.
He wanted that win more.
He got 1.6. He's not crying.
No, nah, but $10 million ain't 1.6. That's a huge disparity. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. He won. That's the most important thing from the day. He won.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, you know, I feel a little bit for Justin Rose because he won $10 million and everybody else went, huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Good for you. Now, Tiger.
See, that's the guy you don't feel bad for because he got $10
million. Just talk to me. And they're all going over. Tiger's even said that the party plane tonight, he took the party overnight red eye with the American team over to, where are they playing? Spain, I think, for the Ryder Cup. And he basically said it was going to be a drunken party the whole way there. The Braves clinched the NL East. Right now, Tanitra just told you what happened yesterday with Lane Adams getting the game-winning home run and Lane Adams being the star and the Braves sweeping the Philadelphia Phillies. They've won five in a row. But we'll take you back to the day before. On Big Fox, the moment that the Braves became the NL East champions.
Out to left. Fittingly, Acuna. Ball game. The Braves are back.
National League East champions in 2018.
What an improbable season for the Atlanta Braves, who have punched their ticket into October.
Yeah, they have indeed. They wanted meaningful baseball in September. Guess what? They get meaningful baseball in October now for the Atlanta Braves. And Brian Snicker talking about whatever it is working.
Well, I said they got the it. I don't know what that is, but when the team has it, it's pretty cool. Can't manufacture it. You can't go out and put it together to create it. But when you're on a club that has that it factor, it's something. It's like you don't ever want the year to end.
Yeah, the good news is year's not about to end, Hugh. The Braves are going after the playoffs most likely now against either the L.A. Dodgers or the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, because Arizona was eliminated yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
Arizona was eliminated yesterday. So, yeah, this is exciting, man. This is what we were talking about. And a lot of people felt that this was going to be the case, that they were going to win the NL, and they're going into the playoffs, and they made it happen. I just thought the Braves would put up a little bit more of a fight than that. Excuse me, I thought the Phillies would put up a little bit more of a fight than that.
Yeah, they
I thought it was going to come
yeah,
out
kind
to
of rolled over,
yeah,
right?
I don't think they rolled over. I just think that the momentum was in the Braves' favor in this case, and they couldn't get it done. But, man, I tell you, it's a great feeling because I remember Friday night, all I got was tweets talking about how they clinched in the seventh inning and beyond. That was their staple, mm-hmm. and that's when they made it happen in the seventh inning and beyond.
Yeah, and they did it again on Saturday night, and they, you know, we were talking, let's go back to that Cardinals series. Remember, we had serious concerns. The lead had dipped, and they were playing that final game, going into the final game of the Cardinals series, that afternoon affair. We said if they could just get one ahead of the Phillies, because you were saying it was going to come down to the final three games, and I was starting to agree with you.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the case.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the case, too, the way they were playing. They got the one win, and then once they got that first one against Philadelphia, it's like they relaxed. I don't know that the Phillies quit, but the Phillies saw it was really daunting, and the Braves just took advantage.
Momentum.
And man, I tell you what, that it factor kicked in. Now you got six games to go that don't matter, obviously, for the Braves. They have the day off today. They'll play in New York tomorrow and then finish the season in Philadelphia. And it sounds like, from just reading it, what Brian Snicker's planning to do, Hugh, is like with Lane Adams playing center field yesterday, is he's going to spot start rather than just, I'm not going to bench all my starters. I'm going to give one guy a chance. You know, Adam Duvall played yesterday. We'll give our guys a day off here and there over the last six
games. I think
games.
That's a smart way to do it. You don't want everybody off, man, because you still want to ride that wave of everybody still being in tune to what you need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't give everybody a day off. So I'm on board with that because that's the first thing that came to mind. After they clinched, I was like, okay, how are you going to handle the rest of these games?
Because mm-hmm.
you got, what, seven games left?
Six.
Six games left?
Yeah.
How are you going to handle the last six?
Right, and it's really kind of interesting from a pitching standpoint. I know that the scheduled starters for the Mets series beginning tomorrow are Tukey, Nuke, and Tehran. Now, if you think about that, Hugh, that's Tukey, who's not going to be a starter in the playoffs. And either Nuke or Tehran, I think the Nuke and Tehran starts are going to be
three or four
auditions because I think your first three are set. I think Nick Green was right. It's going to be Fulton Evich, Gausman, Sanchez, and then either
that
Nuke
makes
or Tehran.
Sense. So you got these guys pitching because they're not going to be a part of the three-man, the first three. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And to figure out who's going to be that fourth starter. I got my money on Nukem. I really do.
And it kind of depends, too, on where you're pitching and who you're pitching against, whether it's a lineup that hits left-handers well or, you know, what's, you know, like Julio Tehran's history against these teams or in these parks. So, for my money, right now the Dodgers are a game and a half ahead of the Rockies. I don't know how anybody else feels. I want them to play the Dodgers. I just had this thing because the Rockies, we went in. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Didn't the Dodgers kind of own you a little bit when they were here?
But I'd rather them play the
That's
Dodgers.
I'm trying to think. Didn't
weird
they
things
own
happen
you?
Up in altitude. I mean, I'll take my chances against the Dodgers. It just feels like a better matchup to me for some reason. I don't know why. I'm not saying it's going to be easier. Maybe Colorado's easier. I don't know, Hugh. I'm just saying I just have this sense that, you know, it's just – I guess it would be – more in line with nobody expects you to do this, okay? So now you're playing the Dodgers. Now nobody expects you to do this, and let's go out and beat the Dodgers.
I would think that with it being the playoffs, I mean, all bets are off. It's a new season, and it's a different team. So it really doesn't matter who you play first, Colorado or the Dodgers. It really doesn't matter because now you're playing – It's almost like the slate's been wiped clean, John, and you're starting all over. And everybody, to be in this moment, the biggest thing that I could think of, you know, is that you're going to want to keep this going. Keep that adulation going. So it doesn't. I don't think it really matter who you play at this point. You're in. Bring whomever comes in front of you. Play them. That's it. Let's get it done.
You know, one of the interesting things is that now the Braves probably aren't going to catch the Cubs. You can forget about the number one seed because they're four losses behind the Cubs with six games to go. So they're not going to catch the Cubs. So let's just say the Cubs are the number one seed, Hugh. And that brings the Cubs to playing the wild card team, which at the moment would be the wild card game would be between Milwaukee and St. Louis, though Colorado or L.A. could end up at the wild card game. I mean, because Colorado and L.A. are only separated by two wins. And they're only, you know, Colorado's only one back in the loss column. So it could be either of those teams. And what'll be interesting to see is the Braves are slightly ahead. They're one game ahead of the Dodgers in the race for this series. It's going to be, you know, the who's going to have home field, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like that almost doesn't matter. It's almost like some Braves fans would rather say, I don't really care if we have home field or not because we short of this five-game stretch they've been on.
You bet on the road.
Better on the road. And so, you know, maybe we just go away from home and play out there and take our chances out there.
I think a lot of Braves fans are just happy that you know, number one, you won the East and that you're in the playoffs. And they'll take it any way that it'll come.
All right,
because
this
is just the beginning. This is Alex Anthopoulos' first season here, and this is just the beginning. I think that's how they're looking at it. When you got the young arms in the farm system, and you're looking at all the deficiencies that this team has, and for them to have all those deficiencies and to still be able to make it to this point, I think they're looking at it like, hey, bring on whomever.
Well, not only that, but they're 9.5 games ahead in the division. Yeah. I mean, they're running away with this thing.
Yeah, and I think that I know for a fact nobody expected that because the biggest thing that we talked about at the beginning of the season is where is the power going to come from in this lineup?
Right.
That was huge. That's what everybody was talking about, how there was no power in this lineup. They did a pretty good job of manufacturing runs. They did a really good job of being resilient. And they did a phenomenal job of never giving up and being that team that in the seventh inning and beyond, that's when they really made their hay.
Well, the emergence of Ronald Acuna, obviously.
And, I mean, yeah, that goes without saying.
But also the emergence of other things too, of Johan Camargo, of a bench that was deeper, the Charlie Culbersons of the world that were so clutch all through the year that had, you know, the evolution of Dansby Swanson, who turned into a top-flight shortstop this year. No question, he was one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball.
And the overall contribution of everybody. Mm-hmm. The overall contribution of everybody.
Yeah, and right, and suddenly the young starters that came up, and they put how many, what, nine? I think nine guys made their Major League debut. I have eight or nine that made their Major League debut on this pitching staff this year.
I think something like that. I think that number sounds about
right.
Correct.
That sounds like a team that's like in last place and looking for something, not a team that won the division by nearly 10 games. Or who knows, they may win the division by 12. And yes, the division below them started to crumble a little bit, but they had something to do with that. You're going to go, well, nobody in the East may finish. Everybody else may finish below 500. Well, guess what? The Braves owned the East this year. They dominated the division. One of the reasons that the division had such a tough year is because the Braves kept beating up everybody. They beat up the Phillies. They beat up the Mets. They beat up the Marlins.
Kind of just fell off, though.
The Nats.
I mean, but the Mets, it did kind of, not taking anything away from what the Braves were able to accomplish, but the Nationals fell off. The Mets fell off, and the Phillies were a surprise, and they handled the Phillies. But that's what you look at, because a lot of people looked at the Mets like they were going to be somewhat contenders this year. And everybody thought that the Nationals were going to be the runaway favorites with the division.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen that way. Did not happen that way.
Well, now that we're at this point, I mean, everything else is gravy, right? I mean, everything else is gravy. You weren't supposed to win the East. You run away, you win the East, and now you're making the playoffs, which nobody had us doing at the beginning of the year. I would have taken above 500. And third or second this year as an improvement.
I don't even think a lot of people had them at 500. I don't think a lot of people anticipated them to be that good. So for them to exceed expectations the way that they did, I mean it right from this point on, John. I think that the players are looking at this like we want to keep this going. We love this feeling of winning, because I'm pretty sure a lot of guys haven't felt that way in a long time.
Well, make no
mistake,
in
a long time.
I want them to win the World Series. I mean, I want them to win it all. No, they're in the playoffs, as you said. You know, wipe that slate clean. Is it a daunting task? Sure. Can they get there? Yeah, it's the Cubs. It's the Dodgers.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. They can win those series.
And they've been in series where, you know, they know that they have to play almost perfect baseball. They can't make mistakes. You know, you think about that Red Sox series and the mistakes that cost them and how the Boston Red Sox capitalized on it. I think they learned from those things. But, you know, anything could happen in the playoffs.
Right, and everybody says, well, you know, the Red Sox are going to beat you up. Wait, who says it's going to be the Red Sox? Remember, the Red Sox, not only do they have to play the Yankees, oh, they got the Yankees. All right, how about the Astros? Did you forget about the Astros, the defending world champions? They have a 100-win season. Nobody's talking about the Astros, the defending world champion, and their 100-win season again, which they'll have, because of the everybody focused on the race in the American League East and nobody paying any attention to what's going on in the American League West. And by the way, the Astros are pretty darn good. So who knows? Maybe the World Series will be the Astros and the Braves. Bring them on. Chop on. How about this? This is great. Because otherwise the weekend was fabulous. Some of the things we may have missed in a fabulous weekend. Our first check-in on the Wendy Zone as we continue on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, it's like the Mondayest of Mondays, but I did congratulate AT on the Saints win yesterday. So congratulations to Arthur Trisch. I know he's super excited this Monday for his team's win. But asking on our Twitter account, at 929 The Game, not only did the Falcons lose to the Saints in overtime, they also lost Ricardo Allen late in the game on that last drive in overtime. So asking you, at 929 The Game, how concerned are you regarding the health of the Falcons? Not, we can still win. Some others can step up, or a lot. It's a serious problem. Right now, already 100 votes in 10 minutes. 71% of people, a lot concerned. This is a serious problem. 26% say some, and only 3% say they're not concerned at all.
Because it is a serious problem.
Yes.
You know what? When you hear that next man up, you understand that and how that works. But when you got people dropping like flies, mm-hmm. It kind of makes it hard to feel good about that, especially when, you know, the great thing about what Coach Quinn has been able to foster here is the fact that, you know, there's really no number ones. I mean, there are, but they rotate so much that there's not a big fall off. But when you have so many guys that are dropping and you have key guys that are dropping like Ricardo Allen and Deion Jones, it kind of makes it tough. It makes it tough for you to sell that to people and they really buy it. Because there's number ones, and there's number ones on the depth chart for a reason.
Oh, it broke my heart seeing Ricardo Allen going down yesterday. He's just the quarterback of the defense, and you could just tell nothing was lined up correctly after he went out. And it couldn't – I mean, it's terrible for a guy who is genuinely a really good, nice human being.
Yeah, too. Cross your fingers it's not going to be super long-term here because, you know, as I just responded, when you go vote, we always say you can jump into the conversation. And we want you to tweet us at 929 The Game. And I just wrote this. Going to need a couple of moves that work. Earl Thomas would be a nice start. Hope Rico isn't out long. Get Tack back. Hope Deion can return for the stretch run. Yes, that's a lot of hope.
Earl Thomas is going to cost you at least a second rounder, no question. But it depends if you want to rent a player for a year and then.
At this point, if Rico's going to be out, you're already down, Neil.
As I said earlier, there's another former LSU Tiger out there who played for the 49ers that no one seems to want to be interested in. Eric Reed could help somebody.
That came out yesterday. And especially with the loss of Ricardo Allen, that move now makes more sense. Well, yesterday's loss, rather, not the most lopsided in the NFL. It was the Buffalo Bills taking on the Minnesota Vikings. The Bills were 0-2 coming into the game, looked like the worst team in football. In fact, you remember talking about Vontae Davis, their cornerback, literally retired at halftime because he didn't want to play for them anymore. Meanwhile, the Vikings, considered one of the elite teams in the league, they have their sights set on the Super Bowl. Well, obviously, the Vikings were heavy favorites in Vegas. They were minus 2,000 on the money line, which is the odds of them simply winning outright without a spread. That means you'd have to bet $100 to just win $5, which seems pretty pointless unless you're sure you're going to win and you can bet a lot of money. Well, one gambler at the Westgate Superbook did just that. They put $9,000 on the Vikings in an attempt to steal a quick $450. So it would have looked like a clever move if the Vikings won. They didn't win. They lost 27-6. So one gambler is at $9,000 because of the Buffalo Bills over Minnesota.
Must be nice to have nine stacks you can just give away like that. Don't worry about it. I'm going to bet this
but
nine stacks.
How confident are you going into that game?
When you're only going to win $450.
But no, but you would think it would. I'm sure a lot of people in their pools picked.
Yeah, knockout pools.
Knockout pools picked the Vikings over the Bills. No question, I picked the Vikings to beat the Bills. And I put in somebody in fantasy football. It's Stephon Diggs. I was like, he's going off today because they're playing the Bills in Minnesota. So, like that guy, I was confident that the Vikings were going to win. The Bills trolling everyone on Twitter after their surprise win. So they put all like the analyst picks from all the media outlets and said, do you like that on their Twitter account? Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They also tweeted. So apparently before the Bills arrived in Minnesota, they put the wrong state on their Twitter account. So they put Wisconsin instead of Minnesota. So Minnesota before the game said, can't get anything by us, Buffalo Bills. We actually play in the other Minnesota. So Bills tweeting after the game, glad we found the right Minnesota, with a smirk face. So the Bills Twitter account having a lot of fun after their win yesterday. Well, Saturday was the official start of fall, which means we can all start thinking about our Halloween costumes now, because October is just around the corner. But this might be the worst costume I've heard of, or at least for this season. So Party City is just starting to sell their costumes, and they're selling a ghosting costume for women. So like the dating term where you suddenly stop responding to someone's text and just kind of disappear from their life like a ghost. So it's essentially just a white dress with 5 blue text message bubbles printed on it, and the bubbles say, see you tonight, then 3 question marks. Are you okay? Hello, and guess not. So the costume cost you $25. It's one of the most ridiculous costumes.
That's pretty cool, though. I've been accused of ghosting before. I've been accused of that.
Oh, you're one of those, Hugh?
I don't do it on purpose. It's just like when football season starts, it's a wrap. It's kind of hard, you know, man, watching all these games and stuff.
Why can't you just say, hey, I don't want to talk to you anymore? It's so much easier.
Because you should know the scenario. It's football season. It's not like, it's just not me. It's almost every man in America.
I watch football, though.
And I'm pretty sure you would be an understanding young lady to a guy that watches football as much as you do.
No, ghosting is the most ridiculous thing.
It's not on purpose, though. It just kind of happens.
You just happen to not see my text?
No, I just happen to, like, not respond.
You're just
it's football.
So busy?
Yeah, because it's football on the brain.
There's no such thing as being too busy.
It is. Sometimes it is.
No, it takes 2 seconds to send a text message.
No, it's not.
I'm getting the ghosting costume now, Hugh. You're going to make me get this ghosting costume.
No, I'm just saying. It happens.
It's so ridiculous. John, do you even know what we're talking about?
Yeah, of course I know, because it used to be different back in the day before the internet.
What it used to be called?
Yeah, we were dipping. You know, we would just kind of just disappear. You know, I mean,
it's the worst thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would, not calling is what it was, you know, when you didn't call.
Hey, or you get those. But you know what it is? It's worse when you get those texts like, hey, haven't heard from you in a while. Because it's football season.
No, you just say, I don't want to talk to you. That's
no,
gone.
See, now that's even gone. Worse.
All right, well, I'm going home because
Don't look back at me like that.
I'm going to look back at you. I congratulate you.
Oh, you played the New Orleans song.
I just don't want it rubbed in the face. I mean,
I hear it, too.
I'm just playing music.
What did Matt Ryan say immediately after throwing 5 touchdowns but not winning the game? He talked with Dave Archer. We have that interview from the locker room. We're going to play it for you next on the morning show on this Falcons Monday with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.